Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 774, Frequencies of War, recorded live on April 1st, 2021. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Duststorm.
And I'm your other co-host, Godzilla T.
And we're back live for the podcast after a week of me celebrating my anniversary. So we took last week off from the live podcast. I did a side recording with Maddie McD from the Halo subreddit this past weekend, so to fill in the week of no live recording, we have that interview up on the podcast feed. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, feel free to go over and give it a listen. Great talk. Not as much about the subreddit, more talking about our kind of thoughts on Halo Infinite, our wishes for Halo Infinite, and some stuff about the Halo subreddit. But overall, it was a nice laid-back podcast, so go over and give it a listen if you want some more stuff to listen to. We've got quite a bit of stuff to catch up on. We had a new Halo Infinite developer update come out. We have several MCC development and flight updates as well, along with some playlist stuff to talk about. But first, as always, we have our Podtacular update, starting with GT and our Fraggin' Friday. How's it been over the last couple of weeks?
You missed it.
I did. I missed both.
We played something that you would go into seizures over.
I know. I was on vacation and I missed it.
We were taking bets on if we were taking bets on whether or not we'd have to send the paramedics over there to jumpstart your heart or something. Yeah. No, we've actually had a good couple of weeks. Been playing some Halo 5. Got in some Warzone.
Very nice.
Been playing a lot of Big Team Super Fiesta as well. Looks like we finished up another commendation.
Oh, very nice. Which one?
I don't know. I got a commendation pack, and I haven't had a chance to actually look at what the combination was. You know, details. Why would I want to have details? Because, you know, that would make freaking sense. Let's see. We did something on your face.
Ah.
I think that's what the one we did.
Which was that the one we did? Killing an enemy Spartan with a headshot. That could be right. Yep, that sounds right.
Yeah, because we were getting close on headshots.
Nice. So we have 7 left, with the next closest one being the standard weapon kills, which is just over 2,000 there. And then the next closest one there is Lucky, which is Earn a Cluster Luck, Last Shot, Sayonara, or Fastball Medal. We have another 197 of those. Trickling away.
Chipping away at it.
And the last two are going to be the grind. The Killing Marines and the Shoulder Bashes. The grind.
Definitely. The Marines mostly, because it's really hard to really farm Marine kills right now.
Yeah. And you go in like with 2 parties of 12 and just have a truce and just kill Marines. Talk about
trap each other
farming.
And get each other trapped in the bases. And
that would be funny.
Just let them stand there and kill Marines all night.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be interesting. All right. So Fraggin' Friday has been mostly Warzone and Big Team. Very nice. That's cool. So I'm guessing it's been mostly Halo 5 for the last couple of weeks.
Yes, we've been doing Halo 5.
Nice. The people want their Halo 5 and their max ranks.
We didn't get our poll up last week, so I just picked. But the week before, they picked Halo 5.
Okay. Very nice. And if you guys want to participate in our Fraggin' Fridays, feel free to come over and check us out on Fridays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Hosted by GT. We'll have another poll up in the Discord for this weekend. And the options are Halo MCC, which can be cross-platform and multiplayer for Xbox and PC, or Halo 5 on Xbox. Very nice. So on the Achieving Halo side, since there was at least one of those, or no, there was two. I did it last week as well. Managed to finish out the competitive wins for the Season 5 challenges with the help of Bobby, Keys, and Prestige. So thank you, folks, for helping me get there. And we'll be back into more MCC probably this weekend, doing some more challenges. And we have a new season coming out next week as well. More about that in a little bit. We just went over our company accommodations, so don't really need to cover that at all. Got a couple of things from the community Discord to talk about. So Vorked has been working on a kind of tabletop Halo game called Halo Mythic. They have version 4 out released, so if you want to check out more about that, hit up the Discord in the Community Creations channel. We've also got Ward is going to boot camp. So one of our community members is enlisted in the U.S. Armed Forces and going to Space Force. And all of the glory that entails there. And then we've got a nice little clip from Prestige from our Achieving Halo from last week, where he managed to jump off of the middle spine in Sandtrap and splatter someone under the rear wheels of his Warthog. It was a pretty interesting clip.
Really?
Yeah. I had a side view of it looking down one of the trenches, and Bobby was trying to go after someone. He died, and Prestige was just kind of trying to get splatters for another challenge, I think. And it, like, just the angle that he came in on was just a very, very funny angle. So that's in clip shots if you want to check that out.
I'll have to watch that.
Yeah, it was funny. I'll have to see if I can pull out my POV and put that up on YouTube or something like that. So that's it for our little community update. If you have any fun little Halo clips or stories that you want to tell, feel free to drop it in the Discord, and we'll talk about it here on the show a little bit at the beginning. So now into the main content, starting off with some playlist updates. GT, what do we got coming in for this weekend?
Well, for April 1st, we have Rock and Rail coming in for Forerunner Slayer. Next weekend on April 8th, we get ODST Slayer. On April 15th, we get Roaming King, and Warzone Assault goes live. April 22nd, we get Griffball. And then April 29th, we do Community Slayer, and Warzone Turbo goes live.
Turbo.
I guess Dust didn't want to break himself tonight. For the MCC, we've got Fiesta kicking off in the 4v4 and FFA playlists, and Rocket Race is retiring for the time being.
Fiesta's fun. Fiesta is never going to be the same since Super Fiesta.
Oh, yeah. It's not. It's never going to be the same.
But it's still fun. It's still fun. Very nice. Well, we've got two MCC development updates to go over from our last time that we looked at these. First one is a little discussion around the exchange. Some clarifications on what is going to be part of it and what is not. Sketched a little kind of interview with Psychoduck on what the exchange is and how you'll be able to use it. Talks about some of the rarity items, like people having feedback on, well, I worked so hard to get X item to get a rank. Will that item be just up to season points now? So there's a nice little discussion there worth checking out. Again, the exchange is a new function that is going to allow you to get additional content within MCC. Some stuff that was behind challenges before, some stuff that's going to be new and themed to the current season. and you'll be able to use some of your extra season points that you have if you have those. I do not have those because I don't play MCC quite as much. But if you have a surplus, this will be a way for you to use up some of those season points. And then we also have a couple of updates. So there was a feature that they were testing in the latest flight, some view model offsets for your first-person view, and there was some player feedback, so they're actually going to put that on hold for this season's release. The custom games browser did not make it into the flight and will not make it into this season because of some critical bugs. That will hopefully come out within the next season's flight for them to kind of squash those bugs and be able to release it for us. And then there are some other critical bugs that they have addressed. Two big ones were some issues with the katana and the Hayabusa armor not appearing correctly. So they made some updates to that. And they also made some additional performance improvements to the map Waterfall. There's some still some issues. So for the time being, it is going to be included in Season 6 content, but it will only appear in custom games. It will not be in matchmaking. That's on the good. Halo Infinite side of things, we've got a brand new Inside Infinite. This time looking at the audio.
Mm-hmm.
This is a really fun one, getting to hear all the cool little sound audio bits that was in this article. If you haven't checked out the article, there are two kind of key points in, well, I guess three key points in the audio. First one is they kind of do a decomposition. Or, well, they show how they compose the sound for a new banished weapon, the skewer, which looks like a massive behemoth. Sounds like one, too. They also had a little Halo Infinite ambiance mashup, or collage of audio, so to speak. And then they've also released a Spotify playlist for the three tracks that they showed off shortly after the gameplay from last year. So three tracks that they have out from three different composers and a nice little playlist on Spotify. I think they have those playlists on some other music apps as well, but those are the actual audio bits from that. We got four people on for this article. We've got Sataro Tojima. So he's been there for a while. We've seen him in several of the vlogs or the what do they call them? Vidocs.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Chase, and he's the audio director. We've got Chase Thompson, who is the lead audio technical designer, Kyle Frazier, the lead sound designer, and Joel Yager, the music supervisor on Halo Infinite. I wrote down some notes from me. GT, was there anything that kind of stuck out to you in this Inside Infinite?
Unfortunately, I haven't had the time to actually dive into it really deeply. I did get a chance to listen to some of the audio, and I was really impressed with what they're turning out. The I almost put the ambient sounds on just a loop while I sleep.
It's nice. Yeah.
It's kind of like listening to the ocean. Yeah. Anyway.
You're talking about the little like minute and a half Forerunner Zeta Halo one? Yeah. It's nice.
Yeah.
I think it really does capture that kind of mysterious Halo, and it almost has a character to it. Like, it's not quite the I'm kind of leaning towards like the cleanliness or the simplicity of the from Halo CE, but then again that's probably a technical thing. But then just the mystery of Zeta Halo, I think, kind of is nice to have that additional mysterious character added to the music. I thought that was a really nice touch.
Yeah,
you could tell where some of like you would probably hear like creaking in a rundown city or something like that, kind of be a little more synthesized for Forerunner type stuff. And just kind of gives you that futuristic alien high technology feel, which I thought was really appropriate. Everyone else like the audio for those that are listening to us live right now? I know a couple of people before we started recording said that they really liked the audio. I think for the most part, it's going to be one of those really cool things. Music, I'm still a little hesitant on. I'm not a big fan of the tracks that they've released thus far, but I'll hold my full judgments till the full game release. Like we're doing.
Yeah, with the music, it's always how well it fits the gameplay.
Well, and some music's going to be gameplay focused. Some's going to be cutscene focused.
If it enhances what you're experiencing, that's the important part.
Yeah. It really needs to all just come together and complement each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So a couple of key things that I took away from this, and what I try to do whenever I look through these Inside Infinite, is pull out a key point from each one of the questions that gets asked by either Sketch or Unishek, whoever's the one behind the steering wheel for these. But the first one was talking about what was the key takeaway from feedback, and this kind of goes in line with a lot of other things that have been said throughout the previous Inside Infinite looks, and it's recapturing the legacy essence of Halo and strengthening the excitement and impact of Halo's combat. One of the cool things was what Tojima said was the number one goal for the audio team just happened to be the number one goal for the art team, which was recapturing that legacy feel of Halo and really supporting the spiritual reboot mindset that they're trying to do with Halo Infinite. So the two most probably artistic pieces of the game, the art direction and the sound, having that same goal, I think is kind of a good indication of what to expect for the Halo Infinite experience. The major music themes that they're going for are Hope and Believe. And they're kind of looking at they called it just brighter music to fit with the campaign style. And I thought this was interesting. So this is from Tajin, and he said, "I contemplated why the brighter music fits so well with the darker stories, and I think it simply boils down to because it's Master Chief." So they're really going after the sense that it is alien, you are kind of at odds, but with the legacy that Master Chief has behind it, they want to really just embolden the player with the excitement of being able to overcome whatever obstacles that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of really playing that narrative musically or with the audio that, oh, you're in a tough situation, you might die, it's kind of like you're in a tough situation, but you're Master Chief. You'll find a way through this. So I thought that was an interesting direction. I wonder how they're going to mix that in with some of the legacy stuff. Because thinking back to Halo CE, when you first encounter the Flood, there's that kind of very mysterious, very kind of like damning feel of like, oh, you're trapped. You're like, you might not get out of this alive.
Yeah.
So like, are they kind of discarding that, or is that going to be just like low key points within the audio? I'm curious how, if that's a legacy part that they're going to kind of mash up a little bit into their brighter music feel, or if those are elements that will just kind of be mixed in with their overall hopeful music. I think there is something to both sides of that argument. So it really just is going to come down to how they present the music and the sound, I think.
Yeah, like I said, that. You know, the music that they're composing has to fit what's on screen.
Mm-hmm.
It's very unusual for game audio to stand on its own. Now, granted, Halo has had several pieces that do that well.
Mm-hmm.
From all the games. I mean, there's at least one song from each game that can kind of stand on its own without the gameplay. But a lot of the music that has been composed for the games, don't get me wrong, it's good music, but it loses something without that video input, without seeing the action on screen or the desperation on screen or whatever whatever they're trying to convey.
Yeah, the music needs context in a way.
Yeah.
To really have its impact.
Like I said, I'm so far what I've heard of the music, I like the music. Is it something I would put in a playlist to listen to? Not yet.
I feel the same way.
I want to see the music in the game. Well, hear the music in the game and see how they use it.
Yeah. Eric Kipu had a comment in here. How about more emotional human themes? Stuff Halo 4 did really great.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, at least the direction that it seems like Infinite is going, is probably not catering towards that too much. It almost seems kind of like it's a rebirth of Halo CE, where you are this super soldier. You're kind of on a mission, and you have the Banished. That chief's just going to go up and overcome the odds, pretty much.
Well, I don't want them to abandon what they've built in Halos 4 and 5 with Chief. And I think they can still do that and still be the Master Chief. You know, yeah, be the badass so. That he is.
Right.
So I do look forward to seeing, you know, more human interaction with Chief. And I think Brohammer is going to be the one that brings that out in this mm-hmm. game.
Brohammer is going to be the comic relief and the grounding humanity piece of all of it. I think for what Eric Ibu is saying, I don't think it's going to be, they might kind of use bits and pieces. And I think for the most part, you're concerned about them like just dropping what they've worked so hard on with Halo 4. I can't remember who I was talking to about this, but it's almost like there's kind of these, the hills and valleys kind of the story that it's going through. So like with Halo CE, it's almost like we're kind of coming, we're going back up that hill, and then Halo Infinite, we're kind of going back up that hill, where Halo 2, we kind of went down a trough, and then Halo 4, we had that kind of down in the trough feel with some of the story narrative and the music that drove it. So it's kind of this like up and down. And I think with Halo Infinite, we're kind of on that up again, not to say that we won't have those kinds of audio cues or music pieces part of the experience, but it just might not be as prevalent with Infinite. Yeah. Or at least the initial story that we get with Infinite being kind of a game's platform as it mm-hmm. might turn out. There might be DLC campaign that could play into maybe some of those more emotional side of the Halo universe, where it takes place within the context of the Zeta Halo timeline.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But overall, it looks like what they're going for, or at least what they're talking about right now, is having a lot more of a hopeful and kind of a overcoming music library with Chief behind it. So they're really wanting to emphasize the super soldier that is Chief and him being the super soldier. So really, really going back to those roots in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there'll be kind of the same mystery that there will be with everything we have is a brand new environment, and there's a whole bunch of history with Zeta Halo, so there's going to be some mystery probably tied into some of this as well, I would imagine. They also talk about improvements to the soundscape, being able to deliver combat sounds in a clear and impactful way, and reducing some of the density from previous games. They talk a little bit in here about how in Halo 4 and Halo 5, they really tried to make sure that all the sounds that were in the environment that you heard. So mm-hmm. you got the whole dynamic range experience of the game happening around you. And there are good parts of that system, and there were not so good parts of that system, just from players being able to pick up on certain things and help differentiate certain sounds or audio cues.
Yeah. So, there's some of the audio cues or sounds would just kind of get lost in the blah.
Yeah. In the wash of other sounds happening within the game. Mm-hmm. Granted, they're amazing sounds.
Yes.
I mean, Halo 4 and Halo 5 sound great. Halo 4, I know a lot of people talk about how Halo 4 probably has some of the best sounds for the game. At least some people think so. just from environment and weapons.
Yeah. There were a lot of sounds in Halo 4 that were a definite step up over the previous Halos.
Mm-hmm.
They basically gave, you know, like with the weapon sounds, they gave the weapons a lot more thump.
Mm-hmm.
Me personally, I didn't like the way they took the vehicle sounds, especially the Warthog.
Yeah.
Just because it's the sound that they used for the Warthog is a totally different family than it was before.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, in canon, it sounds correct, but it's not what we grew up with as far as the sound of the Warthog.
Not what we came to expect, right?
You know, it's kind of an overdone hot rod sound, and it just doesn't fit the vehicle. Where the older sound were more like a, is more like a truck, an industrial truck, which kind of fits the military vibe better.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think they kind of went back on that a little bit. If I remember the gameplay from last year, right, it sounded a little bit more in line with
a little bit better. They did a little bit better in Halo 5, and then Infinite is a little bit better than that, but like I said, it still has more of a hot rod sound than a truck sound.
Well, I think wasn't one of the field recordings, like, weren't they recording a hot rod or something like that?
Yeah.
So I guess that kind of makes sense then.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's just the path that they've chosen for that doesn't fit what I envision when I think of the Warthog.
Right. And especially if you think of like today's military vehicles that are like just have that even deeper rumble and mm-hmm. a lot more things jostling on it because it's so reinforced and there's extra stuff on it. So it's
Yeah.
No, I definitely get where you're coming from. And Irkibu, to your point, I mean, everyone has different likes and dislikes. If Halo 5 is just not as favorable from a sound standpoint, I mean, that's just, I guess, the majority, but it doesn't necessarily mean that 343 is going to completely take that out. I mean, from what we've seen from the game demo gameplay last year, they're kind of mixing both. I mean, look at the grunts that we saw, the different art style there. It was a mix of old and new. The sounds are kind of a mix of old and new. Just mm-hmm. listening to the Zeta Halo ambiance sound from the article last week, you could tell there's a little bit of old and new in there. So it's not like they're going to completely ditch everything that they worked on, but at the same time, they want to still make something that aligns with their pillars. And one of their pillars just happens to be kind of going back to what really made the legacy Halo appealing and do that spiritual reboot. So, I mean, everything's changes from game to game. That's, mm-hmm. I mean, if it didn't change, it's like, why make a new game?
Yeah. That's one thing I really want. I don't mind if you reference the original trilogy, which is fine, but I don't want you to duplicate it. I want you to make it your own. I mm-hmm. want, I don't want to play CE again. Not that I don't like CE. CE's fun to play. But when I buy a new game, I want new experiences.
Mm-hmm.
I want it to feel like a different game.
Which we're going to get, it looks mm-hmm. like. Doesn't seem like there's any reason why we wouldn't get different experiences from across the whole gambit of the game development cycle.
Yeah.
Another thing about the soundscape is something that they're really trying to key on is a better threat detection system from an audio perspective. So
mm-hmm.
Actually analyzing the game frame by frame and reprioritizing which sounds actually get emphasized based on the threat of a particular sound to you. They go a little bit into detail of if you have a weapon that's pointing in your direction with a rocket launcher or something, that sound's going to be more pronounced if it's aimed at you versus if it's not aimed at you. So if you're kind of a third person looking on, it's going to sound a little bit different, and it won't sound as much of a threat. Whereas if it's going straight forward towards you, it's going to have a little bit greater impact in the overall soundscape. So, you know, hey, this is incoming. And Joe Staten has a nice little story at the end of this article talking about how the threat detection system with the audio system really kind of helped craft a nice little gameplay moment that he had in the campaign, which is a really fun little read to look through. Some of the campaign dialogue that he mentioned there in there was also a nice little touch to some of the stuff that we're going to get to see with like grunts and jackals, which is kind of funny that he mentions the jackal. And then there's a nice little jackal 007 piece of art from the community spotlight today. So nice little coincidence there.
You don't think that's a coincidence, do you?
Maybe a tad. But the threat detection system sounds interesting. Being able to dynamically prioritize which sounds get the most attention for a player, I think, is a very interesting development. I wonder how much extra processing power they have to put into doing those calculations for something like that. But that is something that the team seems very excited about. So in previous games, they talk about Halo 4 and Halo 5. All the sounds were coming in regardless of if they were pointed at you, if they were not, if you were third person, if you were in a room or whatnot. But in Halo Infinite, they're adding a lot more stuff on there. So again, pronouncing certain weapons that are more of a threat to you or certain sounds that are more of a threat to you than aren't. If there's sounds that are going at different distances, they used to be all at the same volume. Now they're different volumes based off of this threat system. Doing some other calculations based on where sounds bounce around corners or around walls, and adding reverberations onto those, so it actually sounds a little more natural of where those sounds might be coming from and what they're traveling through. So if it's traveling through a big open room, adding a lot of reverb. If it's coming through a narrow room, have less reverb. Depending on the type of material it's going around, it's going to have different types of reverb. So they're like, this whole audio system like is getting a huge upgrade from what it sounds like.
Yeah.
So yeah, the threat detection system seems to be kind of one of the big excitements for the audio team overall in this.
Sounds like it's going to give you a lot more spatial awareness.
Mm-hmm. They also mentioned using some of that virtual surround sound, so it will really play into those technologies too, like Dolby Atmos. They have some also technical diagrams of some of the sound propagation, the different sound decays and impacts that they're messing with and changing in here as well. So if you really want to get into the technical weeds of it, they have a little bit of a discussion in here, really emphasizing on the threat and not trying to overwhelm the audio soundscape by having a lot more of that impact up front and then having the decay not be quite as loud or as long. So really giving players more clear and distinct audio cues about what's going on than trying to build a more fuller sound like they did in Halo 4 and 5. So that'll be a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm guessing it'll be a lot better from a gameplay perspective. It might not be as full, but it might be better. And I'm wondering if that's even something that they would have options to change. Like if you wanted a little bit more of a fuller dynamic sound,
yeah,
you can maybe turn on that option, where if you want something that's more geared towards, I want to know as much information as clear and concisely as possible, then have that as an option. That'd be interesting to see if that's an option to look at. They did talk about differences between campaign and multiplayer as well, where multiplayer obviously is a lot of combat focus. You really want all that sound information to be as much about the combat as possible than the environment. Whereas the environment is not going to try to sacrifice that combat sound, because you need that in order to play the game and experience the game, but they also want to balance in the environment and the narrative with the cutscenes and the other interactive story elements that you're going to be experiencing within the campaign environment. So there is some difference with how the audio engines is going to implement certain sound systems between multiplayer and campaign, which that's nice. Because the campaign, you really do want that immersive experience, where competitive, you need that. I mean, all the competitive players, you want the most amount of information that's clear as possible so you can make those snap decisions.
Yeah.
This seems like a huge upgrade for the audio.
Mm-hmm.
And Eric Kibu, you hit it on the head. The technical way that they explain some of the audio characteristics and how things propagate and how they're doing certain calculations is really interesting. There's some technical jargon in there if you want to dive through it. It's not quite as technical as some of the other stuff, but it's, if you're interested in it, it's definitely worth a read.
And listen.
Yeah. I think there's actually four different audio things to listen to in here.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing they had on here was kind of, again, building up the skewer sound. So taking four different audio elements. So the impact, the mechanics of the weapon, adding a little sci-fi synth to it, and then the tails, or kind of that after you fire the weapon and after it impacts, like what's the extra sound in the environment that happens, and then putting that together. So they have the four different pieces all separated out into one audio file, or into different audio files, and they have one that pulls it all together. So you can actually see how all the sounds that they're using builds up together for a specific sound.
Mm-hmm.
They also have the sample track. They had another audio field recordings for this that they released, destroying a piano.
I think they just did that for fun.
I mean, half the time they do this stuff for fun. They just get to make an excuse of it that it's work because they're recording sounds with it, right?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, same thing with blowing things up. Speaking of which, there was a section in here where they asked what each person's favorite audio piece was, or audio recording was, and one of them was explosives. And another one was actually recording some animal audio.
Oh,
it's actually not that bad. You could probably use that for something. That's all the stuff that I really pulled out of this. I think that's all the high points. Again, there's lots of stuff in here that you could take away from. Joe Staten has this little like campaign story again at the bottom, well worth the read. And then there's a couple of other little quotes that they have from the development team about the development process that's not specifically related to this, but they kind of just ping certain people within the studio to give some feedback of what they're doing within the project and what they're excited about. So that is the latest Inside Infinite, the audio piece. I don't remember seeing if they had in here what they're going to be doing next time. So next time might be a mystery. Because I think we just had up through this month of what the theme was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be a fun little mystery to see what the month of April is going to bring us.
We will see. And
find out next month.
New gameplay trailer?
What?
It's a new gameplay trailer?
Yeah, we probably won't get that until June or July, I would imagine.
Probably not.
Oh, they're going into detail about PC. Oh, okay. Did I just miss that in there, or was that announced somewhere else? Okay. Hmm. Thank you, Eric Ibu and Sausage for that. And June is .. where the fun begins. Yes, what would be the E3 month is June. So I'm assuming a lot of stuff will probably come out June, July.
Yes.
Probably hear about multiplayer. I know a lot of people have been asking for multiplayer stuff. That's been in the dark for a while.
So yeah, they're going to have fighting. If they're going to do flighting, they're going to have to get started on that here soon.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to have any meaningful content out of it, or feedback, I should say.
They probably will. That might be part of the fun in June.
Could be.
Is the fun of playing the game. So we'll see. We've got two HCS related articles. We have the next Designing the Halo Esports Ecosystem article from Tashi. And this one is talking about viewership. So he goes into why is viewership important to the studio and in HCS specifically. They really want to build up the quality of the viewership, make it to where the viewership is actually, or there's a reason why people would watch it and try to bring more people into it. And then also better options to entertain viewers that are going to be watching some of these HCS events. So having some different content in there, not just tournament type stuff, supporting other HCS grassroots partners, content creators. So really kind trying to expand just beyond the tournaments and really look at a competitive space overall, which is an interesting tactic to really take on. I think that kind of makes the most sense. You don't want to just focus on the tournament plays and the what's happening at just the events. You want to see, okay, how are the teams practicing and pulling together? And for some other content creators that are providing entertainment to folks that might not necessarily compete, like Ubernick and Real Life Spartan. They're not playing in competitive teams, but they have a competitive lean and they provide entertainment to those who watch them. So incorporating some of that content into the HCS scene. Tashi listed six goals that they have for viewership. One is diversifying. So diversifying the content and the different audience that they would get. So not just the exclusively the tournament viewers, but also viewers who would come in and look at different parts of kind of competitive Halo. So looking at some more of the content creators stuff and also trying to figure out other things that they can bring in. So like the team stuff, seeing how the teams come together. And back in the MLG days, you would have those, what was it, like the Gamer House stuff, the Dr. Pepper Gamer House that they would sprinkle in between games and some other like team profile stuff. So really expanding to some of that extra content that can help bring in different audiences that might be interested in some content, but not necessarily others, and bring all that together. So diversify for one, partnerships for two. So partnering with teams and platforms to bring in more opportunities for HCS in forms of content and other kind of like events or ways to do certain things. Looking at Halo Infinite. So the competitive team working closely with the developers to consult on different ways that they can help, or that the development team can help implement tools into Halo Infinite that would support HCS's growth. So looking at ways to increase viewership and including features and tools to help out content creators and tournament organizers utilize the game to bring the best content from a Halo game. Number four, rewards. So they're talking about the HCS Grassroots program and all like the nameplates that the HCS Grassroots streamers have been handing out, trying to use that, learn from some of that, and expand that kind of program. Fifth one is the content. So I kind of touched on this a little bit with the diversify, but wanting to look at other ways to create more content to bring in different viewership and generate different interests for people. So that includes creating content that looks at storylines as teams going through seasons, doing breakdowns of matches, really trying to capitalize on the excitement, intensity, and the drama and celebration of competitive Halo and tournaments. So really kind of trying to expand that. And then content distribution. So they don't want it to just be HCS tournament exclusive. They also want to look at other content that they can bring in as well. And a lot of this is going to be part of their HCS grassroots stuff, partnering with other tournament organizers, partnering with content creators to pull in content together to really help help each other out as far as like content creators getting views from tournaments, tournaments getting views from content creators, and just kind of going back to the diversifying that content portfolio. All of which I think are pretty good ways for growth. It sounds like it's a good plan to really bring back, I think, some of the spark that competitive Halo had back in the early MLG days.
Yeah.
Because it was always one of those cool things to see, like, the rivalries and how some teams, like, came up through as underdogs, or you had certain teams that really just have a powerhouse hold on certain maps and game modes. And a lot of, for those that are interested, getting a lot of that behind the scenes of how the team's team dynamics work, how the teams run together, practice together, and how they get prepped for a tournament. And then being able to supplement that with other content creator stuff. I mean, it's all content that is at varying levels, I think, to where you can get people from multiple interests at least involved with kind of the HCS scene, which is seems like what they're trying to do. They're trying to generate enough diverse content to get a diverse viewership for HCS related stuff. I know that was a little bit of a word vomit, so pardon me for that, but I think it's a really cool thing that Tashi's and the HCS team is trying to work on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it does kind of draw a little bit of inspiration from what a lot of people really grew up with in the MLG scene. You had a lot, and MLG was kind of that homegrown feel of tournament stuff, and you got to see some of the behind the scenes stuff with teams and having some of those stories of underdogs and teams just dominating a bracket or a tournament. And then all these upsets from city to city for the pro circuits. And if we can really bring something like that back and then supplement it with the content creators, it seems like a win-win.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing what they're going to do with that. It might actually get me to watch more events.
That's what they're trying to go for.
Yeah.
They want to get some of the casual audience, and Tashi explicitly says they want to turn casual audience into diehard fans or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
They want it to be worthwhile for a viewer to invest time in watching. They don't want it just to be the people that are there just to see the competitive or the pros play. They want people that are interested in Halo content to also make this a piece of content that is easily consumable by your average Halo fan.
Mm-hmm.
It's tricky because the casual world and the competitive world have always been these very distinct pieces within the multiplayer scene. So trying to merge those together, if they do it successfully, I think is a big win for the HCS group. It's going to be that delicate balancing act of you still want to make sure that the folks that are there to watch the pros be the pros are going to get that entertainment, but then also the casual fans who want to just watch Halo and make sure they can understand what the pros are doing, but then also kind of get the content that they're used to from some of these content creators that's a little more easy to digest. Now, I think the Cliptrosy thing is almost like their kind of initial look at some of this, other than like the grassroots content creators. Like being able to take clips that just as a general Halo fan, you would go see on YouTube or Reddit and bringing that into a program such as an HCS tournament. I think it's a great plan, and I'm hopeful for what they can do to achieve that. Bobby mentioned something he knows with Halo 5, the team stayed pretty static to where it just came the same squad winning over and over. I think that was just because CLG and Tox were just a god squad and were dominating the top of the game for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it does kind of get stale when it's just one team that can't be beat. Yeah, it's going to get stale. That's just that's the fact of that. I think for the most part, though, if Halo Infinite has enough of change, and with this whole games as a service, there's going to be tweaks, there's going to be balances, and if they can come out with a good content schedule where they add new modes and new maps a little more quickly than they did with Halo 5 would be nice. then you might have these teams come in and change things up. I mean, with MLG, you had Forge would kind of introduce a couple new maps every year, every other year. So there was the landscape was always changing, and it was always a matter of teams trying to figure out what the next best plays were on the next map. So if that kind of content can come out and support more ways of the pros really just having to being like continuing to learn new tactics and new play styles for the maps that they're playing, I think that'd be a huge win. I think that's something that was missing from Halo 5 competitive was it was the same stuff over and over again until they brought in Oddball, and that had kind of a sketchy launch at first.
Yeah. It kind of broke the HCS
a little bit. Yeah. So all these things are good things. It's just a matter of making sure they all play together nicely and developing all the program in such a way where they can support each other from the competitive actual watching the tournaments and then the content creation to supplement each other. I think it can be done, but it's not going to be an easy feat at that. There was a content creators wave 5 for the HCS grassroots program. We have 4 new streamers and a new tournament partner. We have Elamite, Monza, Oath, and Takan, or the Reachway. And I've actually had the pleasure of meeting Elamite and the Reachway in person. So a couple more people that I know. And then we've got Paradise Halo being the latest tournament partner for the HCS grassroots program. And then we've got our community spotlight that dropped today. And yes, today is April 1st. Today is April Fool's Day. Thankfully, the internet did not go crazy with April Fool's Day this year. I think everyone was a little more reserved this year, especially with pandemic and whatnot.
I don't know. I'm pretty upset about Halo being delayed till 2022. That really rubbing me the wrong way, Dust. I mean, we've already given them a year. Well, this is 6 years. Well, that's 6 years now. Come on.
GT, I have to break something to you.
What's that?
That was false. False news. Fake news.
No, it was not. There was articles and everything. It was real.
Fake news. Fake. Which is funny because last week when I was on vacation, I saw some stuff about rumors about Halo Infinite being delayed. And I'm like, I can't deal with this. I'm on vacation right now. And I saw like the follow-up tweets from Unishek and Sketch being like, no, it's not delayed. Just stop worrying about it. And then there was like an interview with Steve Downs where Steve Downs was saying, yeah, it's still on target for November release or something like that. So, yeah.
I thought that was absolutely hilarious. I happened to check in on Twitter mm-hmm. at lunch, and I'm seeing this. I'm like, you guys, you really fell for this?
On April Fool's Day of all days.
I mean,
yeah.
Did anybody actually read the post?
Yeah, I didn't actually read. GT told me about what the delayed post was before the show. And the only thing I saw from today when I was typing up the show notes today was Kotaku had a tweet said, sorry, we were wrong about the delay. We got real good. And yeah. then Halo responded to him, you can find all your official news by following the Halo Twitter account. Uh-huh. That was like, a nice little
rub, jab in the rub, gut. Grind, punch. Oh.
I told you so.
That's what got my attention too. And I started, I'm like, what the heck? So I started digging into it and I find the original post of, you know, the tweet with the little, you know, little excerpt that, mm-hmm. and I start reading through and I'm like, you actually fell for this?
It's called Photoshop. But then again, it is Kotaku, so.
Well, see,
unfortunately,
that's just
not
it.
Much of a surprise there.
So, somebody generated this and posted it, and Kotaku picked it up and ran with it.
It's
I wonder if that
Kotaku.
Guy's
going to
be reporting. I wonder if that guy's going to be reporting on games by the end of tomorrow.
Yeah,
or, if
probably.
His, or if his or if his Twitter privileges have been removed.
Well, did they actually make an article about it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I thought. But yeah, I don't think I wouldn't be surprised if nothing happened, to be honest.
I'd be either.
And Eric, I did see the Unishek fake out tweet. I did see that. It's Kotaku. He'll probably be promoted.
Probably.
Yeah. Kotaku. Anyways, so from the community spotlight, again, not showing anything off on the screens this time around, but we had a couple of top picks. GT had a nice one from that was like a grunt in Master Chief armor called Halo Finito by Melting Brains. It's a
suicide
nice
grunt
piece.
In Master Chief armor.
Uh-huh. Just think Master Chief's torso and boots with grunt arms and legs. It's cute. The piece of art's cute. Not going to lie.
I think I have a new profile pick.
You're going to replace the grunt sniffing Chief's boot with that?
Grunt licking grunt? Boot licking grunt. Yeah. Bubba. I can't even say it. I don't know. It might become my new phone wallpaper, too.
Wow.
Sorry, Pixel, but this might just replace that.
That's impressive. To get GT to change his profile pic, the one that he's donned on for how long? Quite a while.
Oh, it's been my Twitter profile pic ever since I started Twitter.
Yeah, so for a while. It might finally be dethroned.
I don't know. Might. I got to think about it for a little bit.
Yeah, take some time. It's a big decision. Changing your online identity. And these days, Nate just kind of is, though. A couple of things that I thought were cool in here. There is a Halo theme done with a trumpet arrangement by a YouTuber. I just see the title now. I don't see who it's by. Hang on a second. By Seb Skelly. And it's really well done. That's the snack break at the top. Maddie McD, who was the guest on the show for this last episode, he has a little screenshot that he, I think, touched up a little bit. That is the creme de la creme. So shout outs to Maddie on that one. Another couple ones in here that I thought were pretty cool. Outlet Chief 729 Dual Threat. This is kind of I think it's kind of a render based on Halo Infinite. It's Master Chief holding or fending off an elite, wielding an assault rifle. It looks very Halo Infinite-esque.
Mm-hmm.
Grey Wolf made it in here. Grey Wolf's one of the artists that we regularly follow with Stand Together. So that's a good one in there. And there's a couple more videos at the end. Oh, this is another one. Legendary Rug. It's the legendary shield, but in rug form, which I thought was a nice little touch. Some really cool tattoos. There's some Halo Metal tattoos and a Cortana tattoo. That's interesting. And the Halo VFX, the Halo 3 full circle scene that we showed off, or we talked about a little while before, made it into this. And then the very last thing I wanted to touch on, someone made a realistic Halo Infinite diorama. It's a 22-minute video of, I think this woman's probably British, at least it sounds like she has a British accent, and she goes into detail about how she made the landscape, how she made all the little pieces, the the trees, the boxes, the models, and all that stuff, and it's really cool. This person did an absolutely fantastic job with the diorama. It's well worth the watch. It's 22 minutes because she goes through how she made each of the pieces. But overall, it's an amazing, amazing diorama. And this is Kathy, at Kathy Millat on Instagram. And it's inspired off the Halo 2018 E3 trailer. And there's a whole bunch more other stuff, but that's kind of the fun stuff. And then at the very end, Doodle Snickers is Mario mashed up with Halo. So and Donkey
Mario
Kong.
Mario Chief.
Yeah, Mario Chief, Bowser Arbiter. You have a Koopa that's a grunt. And then DK as a banished or as a brute chieftain wielding a hammer. It's pretty good.
Don't forget, Princess Peach is Cortana.
Oh, I missed that part.
Yep.
How did I miss that part?
I don't know.
Yeah,
Princess Peach is Goomba in the Arbiter armor with a sword.
Well, I was just thinking that was Bowser, but
Bowser.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty good.
Lots of good stuff in this one. Thank you, Pins, for the gifted sub to Erikibu.
Woohoo!
There you go, Erikibu. Enjoy. Comfal's in here too. Welcome, Comfal.
Hey, Comfal.
We've got some social posts. What we got for the Fiction Friday from the last couple of weeks, GT?
Let's see. For Fiction Friday, we have the first one is Sadra is an outer colony world with lingering distrust of the UEG. It was largely left alone, left largely unaffected by the Human Covenant War.
Until the elite dragged that bomb into the city.
Yeah. For those of you that have watched Nightfall.
Yep. Sacred Icon Halo folks just posted a GIF reply of Denzel Washington going, boom. it was a good response. It was an appropriate response.
Yeah. And for a second one, Covenant cruisers are mid-sized capital ships capable of conducting independent naval operations.
I still need to learn my Halo ship sizes. And Penn subscribed for 67 months.
Mm-hmm.
He's gifted out more subs than he's been subscribed for. Jeez, man. Thank you. Thank you so much. I mentioned this a little bit earlier, but they tweeted this out, but there is the soundtrack previews. Again, all three tracks that they previewed during or right after the gameplay from last year are up on playlists on Spotify, and there's probably a couple other places like iTunes and some other places. And then we've got MCC Season 6, Raven, coming out on April 7th. So a week from yesterday will be the next season of MCC. 100 new tiers of unlocks with season points, brand new back accessories, skins, and armor, a fresh set of seasonal challenges with 3 unique reward items, and more. We've also got SWAT Nation's Easter Headhunt V2 happening this coming weekend. Registration ended earlier today. Tournament is going to be taking place on April 4th, which is Sunday, at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And then we've got a couple new product things. The Jawar's Spartan Collection Series 2 is now available at your local retailer. And then Culturefly has a Halo Infinite Collector's Box that is available now as well. I don't know where exactly that is available. Oh, it's at GameStop. It's available at GameStop. It includes a little bag, kind of looks like a little lunchbox things. There's some stickers, badges, a notebook, a lithograph, and a little Master Chief figurine. So head on over to GameStop and check it out. Over on to Community Musings. We got a couple little things. not much in terms of community stuff this week. We'll dive into that some more next week. But we've got one Halopedia Trivia Tuesday and Lore Thursday. You want to take both of those, GT?
Sure. For Trivia Tuesday, we got, did you know that several ambient animal species were cut from Halo Wars, including the
Oxania?
Oxania?
Okay. Oxana? Oxiana.
Whatever. English, bad. Thorn Beast and Arctic Beast. They were planned to roam around the maps, but were cut because they got in the way of players. In other words,
Castle of the Age of Empires.
they couldn't teach the AI how to stay out of the way of the game.
Sounds like Age of Empires.
Yeah.
I remember when I tried to play those, because I'm horrible at RTS games, like getting stuck on them sometimes, and even like getting stuck between rocks and buildings that you think you'd be able to walk through, but you can't.
Yeah. Well, there's plenty of that in Halo Wars as well. It's like, the opening is this big. You're this big. You can go through.
Right. It's like, if this was real life, I'd be able to just walk through there. Like, clearance is fine.
I have literally had to set and select units one at a time just so they would go through. Anyway. And for the Lore Thursday, originally made as a farming device by an engineer as an apology to humans, the chopper was repurposed as an assault vehicle that is often used by the brutes to cut through enemy obstacles.
Mm-hmm. Yep, the chopper was originally designed to be a harvesting vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Tied in harvesting. And now it's a weapon that you don't want to stand in front of.
Nope. Muncha, buncha.
Crunch, crunch.
Chopper's having some lunch. Oh.
Yeah. So that's it for the official stuff. We'll tackle the community stuff next week. I have started the next book. So hopefully within the month, we'll be doing another book podcast.
Which book is that?
It is... Give me just a sec.
It's been so long, I forgot.
It is Silent Storm.
Okay.
So we'll be doing that within the month. So get to the reading. If you haven't read it yet, we'll be tackling that one here pretty soon. And yeah, I think that'll be it for the podcast tonight. So thanks everyone for tuning in. You can find us on social media. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And then you can also check us out on Twitch. We record our podcast live on Thursdays every week at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We have our Fraggin' Fridays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, hosted by GT. And if you want to participate in that, head on over to our Discord. We have a poll that we put up every Friday on what game we're going to be playing, whether it's going to be MCC or Halo 5, is totally up to the community poll. Unless it's a tie and then GT decides. Then we have Achieving Halo, which is at 9 p.m. on Sundays. And right now we're going through some MCC achievements. I need to get my button gear and come up with the surveys for the 360 achievements so we can get some of those going. But that'll be coming up probably towards the end of the month. And then you can also check us out on our Discord. That's where most of the community hangs out and chats with each other. poddaggler.com/Discord. There's also our Spartan company. So if you would like to help us out with our goal towards getting the Achilles helmet, which I still don't think we'll get before Infinite, but if there's enough people that want to put in the time and effort, then we certainly wouldn't be opposed. You can do so.
I'm definitely not hitting 152.
I'm not. I'm definitely not. I'll be lucky if I get to 150.
I think I'm going to be lucky to make it a 149.
I'm on 148 right now. So you'll make it to 149. You're what?
I still got 1.5 million left.
That's not too bad. 1.5 million's not too bad. In the grand scheme of things, it's not too bad.
Yeah, but when you only get like 7,000-8,000 per game, it's a long ways away.
Well, yeah. You just got to
anyway.
Then we have our Xbox Club as well. If you have any clips or film or screenshots, sorry, that you want to share, you can drop them up on our Xbox Club. You can find the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Podcasts, and wherever major podcast feeds you listen to. We're probably there. If we're not there, please reach out to us, let us know, so we can get onto the place where you consume podcasts the most. You can support the podcast in a number of different ways. First way is by just coming over to Twitch and watching us, downloading the show. But if you want to help us monetarily, you can do so by subscribing to us on Twitch. You can also become a Patreon, Patreon patron. We have several different tiers there. A few tier rewards actually need to be handed out here pretty soon. We've got supporting the podcast, Austin Weebrink, Prestige. Or actually, is Austin Weebrink one of them? I'm drawing a blank at the moment as I'm trying to pull this up. We've got Confal in here, as well as Prestige. Oh, it's Pins, so it's not Austin Weebrink. So Pins, Prestige, and Confal. So thank you so much for your continued contribution in the Patreon. You can also donate to us directly if you would rather do so that way by going to podtaggler.com/donate. GT, any final words before we wrap up this show from what has been a exploration of the audio piece of Infinite?
Don't delay Halo no more.
We want the sweet sound. Have fun.
We see you tomorrow.
Yes. We'll see you tomorrow.
Next week. After you hear this.
Right. Yes. The next Saturday. The Saturday after which this podcast will be released. For the download version. That's why you gotta come to the live version. We have quite a few people that chat in here. We've got, I think, like seven. Yeah, we've got six or seven people chatting in here. So come on over, join the fun. If you're available, that is. That'll wrap it up for us tonight. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Again, we'll cover the community stuff next week. And until then, keep on fragging them trucks.